Good evening. Are we on? All right. Okay, we're going to be in Ephesians tonight. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to talk about the adoption in Christ. The adoption in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purchased in himself, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. The adoption in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this beautiful day that you have given us. Lord, I ask of you to cause my words, Lord, just to flee, Lord, if it is of my wisdom. We just want to hear from you this evening, Lord. We commit this time to you. We commit the results to you, as you know exactly all the burdens that each and every one of us are carrying, Lord. But, Lord, we do just want to focus on the adoption in you, Lord, as we can become your child and as we are your child, Lord, and all that it entails. Would you just commit this message to you, and we just thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to come together to hear your words, Lord, and just to praise your holy name. We thank you and praise you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The adoption in Christ. We need to realize the eternal importance of being adopted in Christ. What does it mean to be adopted? Adoption. There are multiple definitions that are out there, but I basically boiled it down to bring into a specific relationship, to take as one's own child, to choose to follow, to take on or assume a title, or to accept. Adoption brings on a whole new identification of a person. And this is where we're really going to focus at, is when you are adopted in Christ, when you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are now His child. You have a new identification. We have an old sin nature. Without Christ, that's all you are, is an old sin nature. But with Christ, you are now identified with Christ, and you are a new creature, a new creature, a new creation. So we need to realize that we have a new identification. In the Roman law, when it came to adoption, you had the sons that were there, and they basically had less rights than the slaves of the owner, of the master, of the father. But once that child reached a certain age, then it was a legal aspect that was done. That child became a joint heir to his father. At that point, he became adopted by his father, and then he had everything that the father had to offer him. And that's in the Roman culture. But we're talking spiritually, what do we have as being a child of God? We have a new identification. We need to realize that not only do we assume a new title because we are now God's child, we have a new position. And we need to recognize our positional standing in Christ. Excuse me. In adoption, one thing that I really like about adoption is I can personally give examples because I myself was adopted. It would take a court order to go find out who I used to be in the eyes of the government. My original name was Richard Allen Smith, but I am no longer a Smith because when I was 5 years old, my dad adopted me at that point. And I took on the last name of Elliot. To no longer be a Smith, I have a new identity. And as an Elliot, I took on everything that my father had. He gave me a house, clothing, food, instructions, discipline, everything that my father had to offer is what I now have. And because of that, I am a new identity, and my new identity now has the last name of Elliot. And with that, we have five children that we have adopted. And the same thing with them. They used to have a different name. But once the adoption was finalized and legal according to the state, their name has changed. And it takes a court order to go find out what their name was. Well, we're not talking just something that's legal, something that's of society. We're talking our spiritual welfare. And our spiritual welfare, if we know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, is now in His hands, and we have a new identity. We're going to look at three aspects of the adoption in Christ. We're going to look at how being redeemed is the first step in adoption to Christ. We have to be redeemed because we have our old nature. We need to be redeemed to have a new nature. Then we're going to look at the benefits received that come along with the adoption. Once we're adopted, there are benefits that we receive, and we're going to focus on those. And then there's the sad aspect of rejection. Rejection of the adoption of Christ. Rejection and rejecting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior will nullify all that comes along with adoption. Everything that our Heavenly Father has to offer, if you reject Him as your personal Lord and Savior, you have no rights to anything that He has. So your adoption in Christ is the most important identity of your existence. Redeemed. The first step in adoption is redeemed. Redeemed. What is redeemed? What is redeemer? What is redemption? What does that mean? Redeemed is to recover possession or ownership of payment, to convert, to pay off. And basically, when we talk about our spiritual well-being, it's just like this: to free from sin by His death on the cross. And who is His? That His is Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. That is the only way for us to be redeemed. To purchase back the forfeited inheritance for an Israelite who, through poverty, had sold his land. And there's a perfect example of this as in Boaz, how Boaz did this for Ruth. Because as an Israelite, if you were in poverty and you could not pay your debt, then your land could be taken. But you could have a kinsman redeemer to come back and actually redeem your land for you and give your land back to you. Well, this is exactly what Christ did. Christ redeemed us from the penalty of sin. And now we have a glorified home. And we have everything that goes along with having a glorified home. We have access to as our resources now as God's child. So redeemed. Let's look at the who, which we've mentioned is Jesus Christ. In Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." An heir. An heir is somebody who receives something that they didn't have to work for. We have grandparents, we have parents, we have people we don't even know, and sometimes they put you in their will. And when they pass on, you are now their heir, and what they pass on, what they worked for, what they earned, what they developed, is now yours. And you did absolutely nothing for it, except to receive what they gave you. And as God's child, He has all of these resources for us. He has peace. He has comfort. He has joy through the times of sorrows. He has wisdom. He has all the finances. And the list goes on and on and on. And as His child, we are an heir to what He has. And we're not just an heir, we are a joint heir, which means we have the equality that He has as far as His provisions for us. It's in Galatians 4 through 7. So we need to realize that it's God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the only one who can redeem us. And it is because of the crucifixion at the cross, because of His death, burial, and resurrection. And we need to realize that it's not just His death on the cross. And it's not just His blood shed on the cross. But it's the resurrection. The power is in the resurrection. Because if there would have been no resurrection, there would be no power in victory over death and over sin. But it was His death, burial, and resurrection. So that is the who, or the who that redeemed us. And now we have to ask how. How did this redemption process happen? We know He died on the cross, but what does that mean? How? We'll go to Acts 26:18, and this is what Paul has to say in Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is Paul mentioning and telling you the how, the process. What is the process? It's turning from darkness to light. Our old nature dwells in the darkness, and there is no light. But because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we now have the light to stand in. So as a lost sinner, all we had was darkness. But because Christ died on the cross for us, and by faith we accepted Him as our personal Lord and Savior, we no longer have to walk in that darkness. We have light. So to be redeemed, you turn from darkness to light. And that light is Jesus Christ. We turn from the power of Satan, which is the ruler of this world, the ruler of darkness, to God, who is light. We need to believe by faith to receive the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can forgive us of sins. Man can forgive us, but that's not good enough. It's Jesus Christ, because He paid our sin debt. He paid the penalty for our sin. And there's not a single man on this earth that has ever paid the penalty for our sin. But Christ paid it once and for all. So we need to realize that the first step in adoption is being redeemed. Then we move on to the second point, and we need to realize the benefits received. The benefits received. We receive things, gifts, by being adopted in Christ, by accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. I could take and I could put a gift right here on this table, and in this gift would be everything that everybody in here would need to be successful, whether it's to pay off any bills that they owe, whether it's to have that peace and joy that they need to have because they're struggling with something, whether it's to pay off school bills, college bills, whether it's to get a new car to have a reliable piece of transportation for your family or to get to and from work. And we could go on and on and on with peace and with comfort and with wisdom and everything that God has to offer. If we put it in a box and set it right here as a gift, it will do you no good unless you get up and come down and accept the gift. But God has already given you the gift. The gift is right there of eternal salvation. The gift, the adoption in Christ to become His child, is right there. He's already done all the work. You just have to believe by faith. You have to accept that gift and take that gift by faith. But if you don't take that gift, you don't have the faith. And you don't have the resources within that gift. And those resources in that gift is the shed blood and the finished work on the cross at Calvary by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So the gifts, let's talk about a few of these gifts that we receive. If we turn over to Romans 8, 15 and 17, verses 15 and 17. In Romans 8, verse number 15 in Romans 8, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." So not only do we just receive all the gifts that God has for us, when we accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior, we are glorified because of Him, but we also suffer. We share in His sufferings, and we also share in His glorifyings. We need to realize that we are an heir. An heir, in the Mosaic Law, enforced that property was divided among the sons. So, in the Mosaic Law, you had the father, and if he had one son or he had 15 sons, when that father passed away, the Mosaic Law says that everything that that father has will now go to his heirs, and his heirs are his sons. And that Mosaic Law divided all of the property, and the oldest son received a double portion, and all the rest of the sons received an even portion from there on out. But this Mosaic Law indicated that the father did not have the right to give an extra portion to the favorite son. This was by law. We're not under the law anymore. Jesus Christ is not bound by any law. We, as His children, are His heirs. And everything that He has to offer us is at our fingertips. It's that gift that's in that box that everybody who has accepted Christ has now accepted that gift and everything that goes along with it. We are His heirs if you know Jesus Christ. And not only are we heirs, we are joint heirs. Then we're going to look at the holy name and the holy place that we have received. So the benefits received, we are an heir, and now we also receive a holy name and a holy place. If we go into the Old Testament, Isaiah 56, verse number 5. Isaiah 56, verse number 5. "Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." An everlasting name. If you know Christ, your name is written down. And it's not going to be erased. God is a great keeper of names. He knows who has, by faith, trusted in Him and accepted Him as their personal Lord and Savior. And He writes your name down. And once your name is written down, it is written down and it is sealed, never to be erased, never to go away, never to perish. You drive down the road and you see cemetery after cemetery after cemetery with names in the granite and in the stone. Well, you know what? If something comes through and wipes those out, guess what? There's no records of the names there. If it's that old, the funeral home, what if it burns down? What happens to all the records they had and the names? Gone. But if you know Christ, you have a holy name, and He has also gone to prepare a holy place for you, as He prepares a place for each and every one of His children. So the benefits received, we receive as an heir, and we also receive a holy name and a holy place. We also receive heavenly eyesight. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 12, It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We receive heavenly eyesight. If you don't know Christ, you can read the Bible all day long and have head knowledge all day long, but no practical knowledge, no true understanding of what God is trying to teach and to show us. In this book right here is our life manual, our instructions. Everything that we need to know is right here. But if you do not know Christ, you cannot have the discernment that is needed to understand what the Bible is saying. But once you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you now have heavenly eyesight. You now can have a better understanding when you read God's Word. You can now have the discernment to look at others and see and recognize if they might be saved or lost. Now, we don't know 100% for sure, but by reading God's Word, we know what the fruits of the Spirit are. And if we see somebody that's exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit, they're saved. But if there's no fruit except fruit of the world, they're lost. And because of having that heavenly eyesight, we now have the discernment and the passion to understand and realize that we need to be a testimony to the lost and dying world. Whether it's neighbors, co-workers, family members, or strangers, we need to do our part as Christians and share that heavenly eyesight with others, to let others see God through us as we are being used as a witnessing tool for His benefit and His purpose. So we realize that the first step in adoption is being redeemed, and it's only through Jesus Christ. We have looked at a few of the benefits that are received by the adoption in Christ. And now we're going to look at the rejection. The sad aspect of rejection. This rejection nullifies all that comes along with adoption. Rejection. With rejection comes death. Death and denial. There's physical death and there's spiritual death. So the rejection, we'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Well, that aspect right there is not rejecting Christ. That's exactly as a Christian, as a believer in Christ. Since we died with Him, we also live with Him. But, here's a contrast right here in verse number 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If you deny Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He will deny you. When He opens up the book, and your name is not written down there, it's not a mistake. It's because you have made a personal choice to reject Him. And that rejection is not just a physical death. It leads to a spiritual death. Everyone in here is born once and will die once. But you have a choice. If you're born once and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now born twice. And you will only die once. But if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're born once, you will die physically, and you will also die spiritually. And this is not a just, well, it's okay, I'll get past it in my next life. There's no other life. Once you die, that's it. Once the final judgment is here, you will face God. Everybody one day will face God and will bow their knee to God. And you will either bow your knee to Him as your heavenly Father, or you will bow your knee to Him as your judge. And that judgment is final. You're either His child and you live in heaven, or you're not His child because you rejected Him and you're dying spiritually and you're cast into the lake of fire forever. Over in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32 and 33. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." But verse number 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." This death that comes along with rejection starts off first with denial. Denying Christ as your personal Lord and Savior will lead to this death that was just mentioned. We have a choice to make. And standing in here with a congregation this size, you can't say beyond a shadow of a doubt that everybody is saved. There might be somebody that falls in this category. It might be one, it might be more. But this is a personal choice that each one of you have to settle. It is nothing that I can settle. It's nothing that Pastor Mike can settle. It's your personal choice because it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you deny Christ as your Lord and Savior, spiritual death will come to you. When you reject Christ, you lose everything that He has to offer. You lose a holy name and a holy place that He has gone to prepare for you. You lose being a joint heir and having access to everything that He has for you. Just because you reject Him, you deny Him, does not mean that He still has not paid the way for your redemption. He has already done the work that is needed for redemption. And there's nothing that anybody on the face of this earth can do to change that. It's already happened. You have a personal choice. 1 John 2:22 and 23. 1 John 2:22 and 23. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." If we look at that right there and just realize, if you deny Christ, you're a liar. Because you cannot deny something that is a fact, something that is here, something that is real, something that has already happened. If you deny it, then you're lying. You're deceiving yourself and trying to deceive others. And this verse goes on to say that if you're a liar, if you deny Christ, then that means you're Antichrist. That means you're denying the Father and the Son. You're a non-believer. So you're in the same category as Antichrist. And you're called Antichrist if you deny Christ. In verse number 23, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." So if you deny Christ, you do not have the Heavenly Father. You do not have anything that goes along with adoption. You do not have a new identity. You are dead in your sins. You are still bound to your sin nature because you have rejected Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You are not His child at that point, which means you have not been adopted. And now we are talking eternity here. And we are talking on the spiritual realm. And even in the physical, governmental realm, adoption is binding. Adoption is legal when it's done properly. And when the paperwork is done, and when the paperwork is sealed, it's sealed. But if the paperwork is never done, the adoption never takes place. Well, Christ doesn't have paperwork for you to make the adoption final. You just have to accept Him by faith that His finished work on the cross is sufficient. And whether you believe it or not, it is. So have you chosen Him and accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, as His child? Or have you rejected Him and rejected all that He has to offer you? In verse number 23, the last part of it is another contrast. "But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." So have you accepted Christ or have you rejected Christ? Your neighbors, have they accepted Christ or have they rejected Christ? Your co-workers, have they accepted Christ or have they rejected Christ? Family members, extended families, have they accepted Christ or rejected Christ? Those are the only two categories. You're either a child of God or you're not. You've either been adopted into Christ's family or you've made a choice to reject and deny Him and you're outside the family with no benefits, with nothing positive looking forward to, with nothing but a one-way, straight judgment to hell. We need to realize the eternal importance of being adopted in Christ. We are talking eternity. Because once judgment day is here, once Christ returns, it's too late. It's done. It is done. So as a Christian, as a child of Christ, as somebody who has believed in Christ and has been adopted by Christ, what are we doing to tell those around us? Or are we satisfied on sitting in our couch and in our pews and letting them deny and reject Christ? I know this personally challenges me because there are many people that I know that I have needed to talk to and I haven't. And sometimes we only get one opportunity to talk to somebody. God puts that divine appointment right then and right there. And it's our responsibility as Christians to share the gospel with them, to give them a gospel tract. And if we don't, we have now missed an opportunity, and their blood is now on our hands. So as a child of God, are we doing our responsibility of being a testimony to others so that others have the same opportunity to receive the benefits of the adoption in Christ? The process of being adopted in Christ starts with accepting Christ. He is the only way to be redeemed. And it was His work on the cross, finished work, completed work on the cross, is the only way for us to be redeemed. And it is because of Him. And when we trust in Him, we turn from darkness to light. We need to realize the benefits that we've received as His child, as His children. And if these same benefits are offered to those that do not know Christ, if they just accept that free gift. If you have rejected Christ, it is not too late today to settle the matter and come forward and seek somebody out and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have lost family members, neighbors, co-workers, don't give up. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop witnessing to them. Put it in God's hands and let it stay there, because there's nothing that you and I can do but be a positive testimony. And when the opportunity is there, share the gospel with them. Don't beat them over the head, but put it in God's hands and keep praying for our lost family members and loved ones. As His child, you receive benefits now and most of all for eternity. These benefits are eternal. If you reject Him, you lose all He has to offer. We must realize the eternal impact of our position in Christ. Your position is either going to be His child or not His child. As His child, it's hell. If you reject Him, As His child, you're in heaven because He's your heavenly Father. If you reject Him, you only have hell. And that's the only option. Unless you right now accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Your eternal future is at stake. So let's just remember the importance of the adoption in Christ. It deals with your eternity. And you must recognize your position standing with or against Christ.